and lay his hands upon her and heal her, and she would live. We have here then Jesus being besought by a ruler of the synagogue. It is said that this was one of the rulers that went with others to Jesus when the centurion had come to Christ and besought Christ that he should but speak the word and his servant would be healed. These rulers, they had said that he was worthy that Christ should do this for him because he had built them a synagogue. And now Jairus was one of the rulers in this synagogue. And Jairus, he had heard of Jesus. He had seen Jesus many times. And he knew what had happened likewise to the servant of the centurion. But now, Jairus, he had something going on in his own home. His little girl, 12 years of age, she had fell sick. And she was at the point of death. There was much sorrow and much grief in this home. Those of you that are listening to me, you know that in and through sin, even children are subject to pains, to sicknesses, and to the miseries of this life, even to death itself. If we visit the cemetery, we find that there are little graves of babes, of children a little older, and of children of older age. Death sweeps them away just as well as older persons. Oh, if you had in your house a child that was sick and was at the point of death, then you likewise have besought God that he might make the child well again. Even people, natural people, that never go to church, never read the Bible, never pray, when they have a child that becomes deathly sick, then their last resort is to either call a minister or they call a priest that he may come and that he may pray over them. Not always. Some are so hardened they don't even care what happens. We have such people even in the world too. But most of them are under the impression when somebody is very sick and at the point of death. And now, what a mercy if you have had something like this in your life, and you have besought God for your child, and God in mercy restored that child and brought it back from the grave. I know from personal experience something of what I'm talking about. And then we cannot be thankful enough to God, and we never can forget the time that God has done that for us. But there may be some listening to me that have had that they had to lose their child. And this is a sorrowful state and case when parents lose a child. But then it isn't a pleasant home to enter into. There is much grief, there is much sorrow, and we won't say that everyone is that way, but we are not satisfied with what God does. We have a nature which is rebellious and which stands up against God. I have, and so have you. And when we see other children running and they're healthy and well, and ours was taken away, then we need grace to be submissive. We need something to keep us under, or otherwise we're going to rise up in anger against what God has done. But now I can picture this man in my mind, this Jairus. He came and he fell at the feet of Christ. And oh, he had such an anxious concern on his face. He says, "Lord, won't you come down to my house? Well, my little daughter is so sick, she's at the point of death. Won't you come, Lord, and lay your hands on her? And won't you heal her? And if you do, she sure will live." I'm sure this man, he had faith. He didn't come to Christ for nothing, no. He had known Christ, and it seems by hearing of the miracles and learning what Christ was, it had wrought a faith in his heart. And when he came into this trouble, he came to Christ. He wasn't filled with enmity or rebellion against Christ, no. But he came and he fell at his feet And he prayed him in this manner. What a mercy, my hearers, to come to Christ with providential troubles as well as with spiritual troubles. May I ask you a question? Have you ever laid at the feet of Christ, imploring him that he would lay his hands upon you, and that he would save you, and that he would do good unto you? Can you point to me in the Bible where Jesus ever turned anybody away that came and lay at his feet? I would entreat every one of you that are listening to me to go to him and lay at his feet and implore him that he would save you, that he would be gracious unto you, and that he would prepare you for that time when you will have to die and appear before him. This Jairus, he's laying at his feet, and Jesus didn't say to him, your faith is not strong enough. He had faith, but he had no faith like the centurion had, for the centurion had such strong faith that he said, all thou hast to do, Lord, is but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. But this man had not that sort of faith. He insisted that Jesus come along with him, and that Jesus had to come down to his house, and that Jesus had to lay his hands on the child, or otherwise the child was sure to die. This was his concern. And now Jesus, he went with him. He never turns anybody down. He went with this man. And as he went with this man, I'm sure this man was so happy. Oh, but he was so anxious too. Oh, he wanted Christ to come as fast as he could to this house, for he was afraid that the child would die. And if it died, well, then there wasn't any hope anymore. And as Jesus went with him, we find a multitude thronged him. Many of these people knew this Jairus. They had been to the synagogue, and they had seen this man in the service of the temple, and they were familiar with him, and they had seen also what he had done and what he had asked Christ for. He had fell at his feet. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Imagine him falling down at the feet of Jesus. Such a great man, such an honorable man. But it wasn't too low of a place for him to come. It's not too low for me and you either. And we find that the people all went along with him. They, out of curiosity, they went to see the miracle, probably, that Christ would perform upon this child. And now as they went, there were so many that thronged him, and there came a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. And when she had this issue of blood, she had resorted to so many physicians. She had went from doctor to doctor to be made whole of this issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging all the time. There was a discharge of blood coming from her body. And no matter what doctor she went to, they didn't help her. They gave her remedies, they gave her advice, but nothing helped her. Instead of helping her, she became worse. And now when she heard of Jesus, then she likewise came with this multitude. They were probably going by, and she, when she heard of Jesus, received such strong faith. The more that she thought about Christ, and the more that she had heard of the miracles that he had done, the stronger her faith became. And she received so much faith to believe that all she had to do was to go to him and touch him. If she but touched his clothes or the hem of his garment, as it is in Matthew, then she would be made whole. Such faith she had. How different was her faith than the faith of Jairus. Jairus, he insisted on Christ coming to his house and laying his hands on the child, but not her. No, she had it in her heart that he knew what was the matter with her, and he knew how long she had had this, 12 years. And he knew, too, that she had not become any better, but that she had become worse. And she had spent every cent that she had to try to get better, but to no avail. And now she had it in her heart to come behind him. And now all she had to do was to touch him, and she believed that she would be made whole. And she came. She pushed herself in amongst all the other people, and she got as close as she could to him, and then she stretched out her hand, and she touched his garments. And the instant that she touched his garments, she was made whole from the plague that she had. Virtue went out of Christ, and instantly she was made well. Now this woman, she's a type of a child of God. Everyone that is born again is convicted of their sins, and this becomes a disease, a plague. I wonder how many of you that are listening to me are troubled with your sins. Now, this woman was troubled with this issue of blood for 12 years. How long have you been troubled with this disease? Maybe some longer than 12 years. Maybe some 20, 30 years. They've been troubled with this disease, sin. And what have you been trying to do, just like this woman? The instant that sin becomes sin to us, then we try all sorts of remedies. Or we try to make ourselves better. We make resolutions that we're not going to sin anymore. And then we try to keep the law. We try to work out a righteousness of our own. And now the more that we labor and the more that we spend our strength and our time in trying to make ourselves better, the worse that we become. Just like this woman, she spent everything she had. And now she was a poor, sick woman. Let me ask you, are you a poor, sick sinner? What a mercy of God has wrought this in your heart, and you've come to the end of everything, for there isn't anybody that can cure you anymore. Now this woman, she was given to hear of Jesus, and so you have heard of Jesus. All this Jesus, he's able to save. He's willing to save, the gospel says, and this come to you. This has encouraged you to come to him. And this woman likewise, when she heard of Christ, it wrought such a strong faith in her that all she had to do now was to go to him and touch him. Have you got such a faith? Now, this faith is the operation of the Spirit of God. Now, this was wrought in her by the Holy Ghost. This is nothing that we have of ourselves. We can't manufacture this faith. We can't take it out of our pockets and use it. No, it was given to her at this present time. And where we find her coming to Christ and touching him by faith, she didn't touch him in vain. Her faith was true faith. And immediately she was made whole. And now this woman, she turned away from Christ. She turned away in secret, thinking that he wouldn't say anything to her, and she would go away with the blessing. This, I think, was wrong of her. I concede that she had an affliction that nobody should know anything about. Nobody's going to hang on the ears of somebody else or what their troubles is, especially this kind of a trouble. And therefore, probably, if she didn't want anybody to know this, and therefore she was afraid to make it known. And therefore she decided that she would go away. But now as she turned away, Christ, who had brought her to himself, and had given her this faith, and who had wrought this wonderful cure in her, would not let her go away in this way. But he spake and said to his disciples, "Who touched me?" And he turned around. For virtue had gone out of him. My hearers, this was virtue already in this woman. And that she came in and through the press. She came through all obstacles, through everything that came up in her. This faith that God had wrought in her was the virtue of Christ in her, which brought her to him. And when he looked at her, then she saw something that she had not seen in any of the faces of the physicians that she had went to. They all tried to cure her, but they took her money. And they didn't help her. But when he turned around and looked on her, he looked on her with a look of love. her look of pity, a look of compassion. She had never had a look like this of any of her physicians. And all this wrought something in her. It didn't frighten her. It didn't make her run away, no, but it brought her forth. She did not go away from him, but she came. And she fell down before him, and she confessed the whole truth about herself, what she had went through, how long she had had this disease, and how wonderful she had heard of him, and how this faith had been wrought in her, and how that she had also experienced this wonderful cure. And now Jesus, he'd done this to this woman so that the fact and the wonder that had been done to her would be made known, and that he thereby would be glorified. And therefore, she confessed the whole truth unto him, everything. Oh, my hearers, have you this disease that I've been speaking about, sin? Or has it wrought in you that faith that you are coming to Christ, that you are seeking him? Have you ever been given to touch him a little bit by faith? It says she touched the hem of his garment. The commentary says that the Jewish people, they were commanded by God to put a rib band of blue around the border of their garment on the bottom. This rib band of blue was to remind them that he had given them his law. And every time they looked down, they were reminded of his law and commanded to do his commandments. And now Jesus likewise had this fringe, this rib band of blue around his garment on the bottom. In Matthew it says she touched us. And this rib band of blue to me and you represents the righteousness and the holiness of Christ. And now this woman, as she touched him and virtue went out of him and she was made whole. There may be some listening to me that have been given by faith to come to Jesus. You have touched him by faith. You have received something from him. Maybe a broken heart. Maybe he has spoken a few words to you. Maybe he has encouraged you. Maybe he has strengthened you and given you to believe that he loves you and that he eventually will reveal himself unto your soul. Oh, what a precious thing it is to be able by faith to touch Jesus. This woman touched him, and when she had touched him in this way, and he had made known unto the multitude who it was that had done this, then she came forward, and she confessed the whole truth. Oh, if God has done something in your soul, then there comes a time when you have to confess what God has done. Why, the stones in the street will speak out before you will be able to keep quiet. Oh, he gives you such faith and such love to himself that you come forward and you confess everything, what has been going on in you, irrespective of how long it has been, 12 years or 20 years. What a mercy to confess the whole truth unto Christ. And now after she had confessed everything of herself, then he spake unto her. And he said unto her, "A woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of this thy plague." Wonderful words, my hearers. He attributes the healing that she had of the faith that she had. Thy faith, he had given it to her, but he gave her the honor of that faith that was in her. And in and through this faith she had been made whole. And likewise he spake unto her, "Go in peace." She had come fearing and trembling, probably, that she would be rebuked. But she found him to be such a wonderful Jesus that he spoke these words, "Go in peace." Oh, I wonder how many souls listening to me would say inside, "Oh, I wish Jesus would say that to me. Oh, I wish he would say, 'Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Oh, is it plague? Sin. Then there will be a time he will come. Oh, I would entreat you to wait upon him. He says, blessed are all they that wait for him, and none ever waited in vain. It seems that way so many times with us, but there is a God in heaven that keepeth truth forever, and he keepeth his word unto 1,000 generations. This woman, she received this wonderful blessing, and she was made whole, and she went forth. And just then there came from the ruler's house, Jairus' house, certain that said, trouble not the master anymore, for your daughter is dead. Oh, what a blow this must have been to Jairus. Just imagine, he had been praying that Jesus would come, and Jesus had went along with him, and now what he feared took place. He feared that she would die before Jesus got there. And now word came to him by these messengers that his daughter had died. Oh, my hearers, true faith, it's always tried. And this man had true faith, but it was small in proportion to the centurion's faith and to the faith of this woman. And now this daughter, she was 12 years of age. Just as many years as this woman had the issue of blood, so this young girl was of age. And now she had died. What must have went through this man Jairus when these messengers came to him and told him this? Oh, then all his hope and all his expectation and all the faith that he had was gone. I'm sure it was. Have you ever been brought to this point spiritually, my hearers? It may be that you likewise have fell at the feet of Jesus, and you have besought him to save you, and you found him going along with you as he did with Jairus. Or you found him in prayer, you found him in reading the Bible, you found him in coming up to the house of God. Oh, how sweet was his presence. You remember that? You couldn't realize that it was his presence. You couldn't believe that it was his presence. But there was something. It was God to you. And oh, how good this was to your soul. And now there came, just like it came with Jairus. He had great hopes, great expectations, if Jesus only got there in time. But no, the child died. So it went with you. There came a death upon all this. All your prayers and all your coming to the house of God and all your reading of the Bible, there came a death upon it. Oh, how miserable this is, my hearers. How trying it is to face. And now Jesus, when he heard these messengers speak this to Jairus, he immediately was there. He immediately said unto him, fear not, believe only. Be not afraid, believe only. Oh, what wonderful words Jesus speaks at times. When we are in an extremity, or when we fear that everything is gone and there isn't any hope anymore, then he comes, then he speaks. So it was here with Jairus. Oh, this man was so encouraged by Jesus. Be not afraid. Did you believe that I would heal her? Did you believe that if I went down to your house and laid my hands on her, that she would be made well and that she would live? Oh, just believe it. It'll take place. Have you ever believed that he would save you? Amidst all your sins and all your transgressions and all your hopes being dashed to the ground, has he ever spoken to you in this way? Oh, how sweet it is to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, how encouraging he is, how he draws our souls out to himself again and again. Amidst all our despair, he remains faithful to his work and what he has begun in our hearts. And so Jairus was even encouraged, even in the midst of what these messengers brought. And now we find that Jesus went down to the house of Jairus. And now when he came there, there was a great tumult. The relatives and the friends of Jairus and his wife, they were inside wailing and crying, and they were weeping and they were carrying on something awful. Reading a little article about the Orientals, that when there's a death in the family, then immediately the females of the family, they immediately let out a wild cry. And they let this cry go as long as they have breath. And then it dies to a sob. And then they give another cry. And they do this for 8 days. They have various ways of expressing their sometimes they pull the hair out of their head. Sometimes they rend their clothes. Sometimes they cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes. And sometimes they tear the face with the nails of their fingers. An expression of sorrow, of grief, because someone has passed away. This child had died, and when Jesus came to this home, here they were, wailing and weeping and carrying on something awful. And he says, why make ye this ado and weep? The child is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, it says. Just as hard as they had been wailing and crying, they turned around and laughed at him. They knew that the child had died. And for him to make a statement like that, it was ridiculous to them. But they didn't understand the words of Jesus. Jesus speaks in Scripture about death being asleep. You know that when Lazarus had died, then he said unto his disciples, Lazarus sleepeth, and I go to awake him. So we must take it here when he said the child is not dead, but sleepeth. And now these people who were carrying on so awful in the house, they were put outside of the house. And he only suffered Peter and James and John, the brother of James, to go in with him. And he took the mother and the father of this child, for they were the only true mourners. It was their child. It was their flesh and blood. And now these three disciples, they were privileged above the other disciples many times. They were privileged to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were privileged likewise to go into the Garden of Gethsemane a little further than the other disciples, and they seen something of the agony of Christ. They were eyewitnesses of many miracles that the other disciples were not given to see. And here he permitted them to enter into this house with him, but the others were not allowed to. And he went into this room, and he took the parents with them. I can just picture in my mind these parents. There was their child that was dead. Oh, would he be able to restore that child back to life? Would he be able to raise it up again? Oh, would he be able to do such a wonder? I'm sure these questions were running through their minds. And when he entered into the room, he went over to the child, and he took it by the hand. And he said unto it, Talitha cumi. This translation is, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. All this wonder we have here, the Prince of Life coming to one that was dead. And he, who is the origin of our life, he took this child by the hand. And when this takes place, then death must give way. It gave way in this room. For immediately he spake these words, and the child raised itself up and immediately come out of the bed and walked. Oh, can't you picture in your mind parents looking at what took place to their child? Oh, they had such little faith. The faith of Jairus had brought him to the feet of Christ. And it only was that he had to come to his house and lay his hands on the child. He did not have that faith to believe that Jesus could bring the child back from the dead. But now he was so strengthened in his faith, I believe, when he seen what Jesus did, all that he raised his child back to life. Oh, what a heart he must have had filled with wonder and amazement. For it says they were astonished with great astonishment. Oh, they were amazed. They were so surprised at what Christ did to this child. He took it by the hand, and immediately it was raised up. And it walked, for it was of the age of 12 years. And he commanded that they should not tell any man about what had taken place, but that they should give the child something to eat. Now we know from experience that people that are in a dying state, you can't get any food into them. It wasn't in those times as it is today. Today they nourish people in the arm, but in those times they had no such facilities to do so, and therefore this child had probably not eaten for days. And now he commanded that they should give it something to eat. The proof that he had raised it up from the dead was that it walked, and the second proof was that it began to eat. It was cured immediately from the sickness that it had had. It was a perfect restoration. It was a resurrection from the dead for this child and for the parents. Oh, who can express the gratitude that they must have had in their hearts towards Jesus and what he had done for them. My hearers, this raising this child from the dead proves to us that there will be likewise a resurrection from the dead. Did Jesus speak unto this girl, and was she given to arise? There is a day coming when the Son of Man shall come in the clouds of heaven in great glory, sitting upon his throne with the thousands of angels round about him. And when he will speak, arise from the dead. Then there will be a scene that never was upon earth and never will be any more upon earth. Then the graves will be opened, the tombstones shall fall over, and people shall arise out of their graves. The sea shall give up its dead, and all that have lived upon this earth shall come back to life again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be, my hearers. A day which the church is looking forward to, a day in which the church shall enter into glory above to be with Jesus forever and ever, a day when you and I will stand before this great throne. Oh, it is written in the scriptures that he will gather all nations before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. A question. Which side will you be on? A solemn question. A reality, my hearers. Oh, what an awful thing it'll be to hear out of the blessed lips of Jesus being placed on his left side. Go away from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. This will be the doom of every person that has never been taken by the hand, never been raised up out of a state of death here in this life, never have experienced the spiritual resurrection. Their doom will be on the left side of Christ, and they will suffer eternally in that fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But oh, how blessed it will be to hear out of his lips, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for thee from before the foundation of the world." Oh, I hope and pray that every one of us may be found on his right side. Oh, picture to yourself this solemn scene. This is a reality. This is our faith. There will be a resurrection of the dead. This proves it, my hearers. This child was raised from the dead. Oh, may you be given to seek a resurrection from your spiritual death in this life, that you may be given to be placed on the right hand of Christ to enter into that place where death shall never be anymore. Or there we will enjoy his presence and never go out anymore. The Lord bless this solemn lesson to each and every one of our souls. That's all for today.